on the line with us live from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Morning, what's going on?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Laura. How are you all?
Good morning. We're good.
Okay, I got to ask you, number one, who are you rooting for in the championship game tonight?
Man, I don't know. I was really kind of pulling for Wisconsin because, you know, they were kind of the underdog, and that was the first time their coach had been to the Final Four. And but I tell you what, two really good basketball games over the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That Kentucky game with the three-pointer with about 7 seconds left, that was awesome.
Oh, man, y'all quit talking about it. I was at the Miss Texas thing. I didn't even get to see any basketball.
Laura was in pageant hell this weekend.
It was fun. We had a good time.
But anyway, so...
but I missed basketball, so it was a good game, huh?
Yeah.
There were two really good games back-to-back. I mean, so it really, really... I tell you what, the Final Four game will really have to... Or the Final Two will really have to live up to... Some pretty high expectations after those two games.
It's going to be a rough game. It certainly will. All right, Randy, you guys have been working on legislation defining the work week as defined by the United States House of Representatives would be 40 hours. Yes,
that's right. Because as you know, under the Affordable Care Act. The president defined it as 30 hours a week, and what we begin to hear from, and here in my congressional district as well, is people started getting their hours cut back because, you know, the employers were concerned about the number of employees that might fall under the Obamacare. And so, for example, we had the one lady that wrote in, said her son's hours were cut to less than 30 hours. And it was making it hard for them to support their family. Another person stated similar things that were having, impacting their family's income because their hours had been cut back. So what Congress said is, and which is the more traditional definition, is that a full-time worker is a 40-hour worker, not a 30-hour worker.
Well, you know, I would agree with that. I think that... a lot of the definitions that are kind of coming down the pike now, aren't there some other definitions that the president is trying to swing the pin on as far as equal pay today? Aren't we looking at something like that, which is kind of amazing because he says women should have equal rights, equal pay. But, you know, the White House, they're 9% off between men and women. Women get paid 9% less than men. Fact.
Yes, I mean, I think the thing that is a little frustrating is that all of these regulations and executive orders and stuff coming out of this administration creating a lot of uncertainty for businesses all across the country. And right now, what people need is, you know, good paying jobs. We need to stimulate the economy, encourage businesses, and not discourage them. And so that was one of the reasons that we passed this bill was to, you know, bring some certainty to that process.
All right, Randy, hang with us. We'll be back. Going to take a break. America's is built on American ingenuity, and we didn't have all these rules and regulations to build this great country. We'll be back at 7:43.
And if you have a question or comment for Congressman Randy Neugebauer, please feel free to call us, 770-5790. And Congressman, I think we have Carl on the line right now.
Carl, you're on.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I know this sounds really, really crazy, but I told my wife that all these executive orders and decisions and that he's making and bypassing Congress, I think he wants to be king. What's going to keep him from making an executive order outlawing elections? What? Think about it.
Well, you know, that's an interesting concept. I think there's a lot of people that have concern about the amount of executive orders coming out of this administration. More importantly, not just the executive orders, but, you know, randomly selecting parts of laws that they want to abide by and ignoring others, whether it's in immigration
and going unchallenged.
I'm sorry to say that again.
He was saying, and going unchallenged.
He's been unchallenged on everything.
You know, there
have
been challenges in the court system. And one of the things we did a couple of weeks ago is we passed a bill in the House that would allow Congress to have standing. And so basically, I'm not a lawyer, but when you're going to challenge someone's actions in the court systems today, you have to have what is called standing. And for some reason, Congress currently doesn't have standing to challenge some of these things. I don't understand that, since we in many cases made that law. But it was a piece of legislation that we did pass in the House. It'd be good if it passed in the Senate, not just for this president, but future presidents, to give Congress's another tool when they find that the executive branch is not enforcing or abiding by the laws.
That answer your question, Carl?
Kinda. But I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Carl. I think that there's quite a bit of ambiguity that surrounds this. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that the president is unchallenged.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I think he's been challenged every step of the way.
but we
have a system of checks and balances in this nation. That's how our government is set up. And no one can come in any branch of government and just call all the shots.
Well, I kind of think that's what people are kind of pissed about, because, you know, executive orders have been, you know, utilized by every president. But the thing is, you know, normally, you know, anything that has to do with funding, congressmen, starts in the House of Representatives. And, you know, we've got all this bass-ackwards kind of stuff going on because, you know, the Senate drafts these versions of bills and sends them over to the House and say, here, why don't you pass this for us, and then we'll pass it again. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you. And, you know, Congress does its best work when we do regular order, and that is where we go through the committee system, we debate these bills in committee, we bring them to the House, to the Senate floor, we pass those, and then we bring them together and we work out the differences. And when we start any kind of shortcut, whether it's the executive branch or the legislative branch, I think in many cases the American people get shortchanged in that respect.
Yeah. Hey, Congressman, hang with us at 7:51. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Lori, you had a question for the congressman.
We've got the Congressional Art Contest coming up.
That's right, Laura. And that's a great contest for our high school art students to enter their piece of work. And if it's chosen, it's going to hang in the United States Capitol. And so in every congressional district, we've got this art contest going on. And it's one of the fun things for these art students to get to come up and see their work hanging in the Capitol. So the deadline for that is April the 25th. And so if you know a aspiring high school artist out there, we'll have them be sure and enter our art contest.
And how do they enter that?
They can call our office at 888-763-1611. That's 888-763-1611. And well, they can give you information on how to do that.
Super. What an honor to have your art hanging in the Capitol building. That's fantastic.
It is, and it's amazing some of the art over the years that these high school students have done. I'm very impressed, and so looking forward to this year's contestants as well.
Oh, excuse me.
Choked him up.
Yeah. It's an emotional roller coaster. All right. What's happening in the Ukraine as far as from the inside looking out? I mean, because basically what we're seeing is we're seeing a sovereign country that is being treated not so sovereign by Russia. And, you know, John Kerry keeps going over there and saying, well, we're not going to have talks about the Ukraine without the Ukraine, but yet they have talks about the Ukraine without the Ukraine. What the uke is going on?
Yeah, well, it's a very unstable situation, and I don't know if you noticed in the news, but there was some uprisings over the weekend, and we would believe that Russia is kind of stirring up some of the population in that part of the region, and particularly on the eastern side. And so I think what we're trying to do is help, you know, stabilize that government. They had a rogue president, and he's gone now, and what they need to do is reestablish their government. But more importantly is we need for Russia to recognize their sovereignty.
Right. Is there really any diplomatic difference being made by Mr. Kerry at this point, or are we just, is it as shallow as it seems?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. You know, with Putin is plays hardball, and it's hard to determine whether any of this is making any difference in his thinking. I think the sanctions may be more effective than, you know, the rhetoric. You know, Putin is he's a old KGB guy. He plays hardball. And I think I've said a couple of weeks in a row now, is that more importantly is we need the rest of the world to join us in this effort, because if he thinks there's any weak link in this these sanctions, he's certainly going to take advantage of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just think that we could probably be a little bit more proactive, a little bit more aggressive. Do you have anybody in Congress that's sitting there saying, hey, why are we even talking about cutting defense? Personally, I think that's a bad move. I think that's a stupid move.
We're right in the middle of the budget and appropriation process, Tom, and that's a discussion that's going on right now. And a lot of us feel like that we have to be very careful here. Obviously, we've got to do something about these huge deficits. We can't continue to mortgage the future of our children and our grandchildren. But we need to prioritize those areas. And certainly one of the things that the founders, or whole reason that they formed these United States, was for the common defense. And so we cannot neglect our defense. And I think a lot of people think that one of the reasons that Russia feels so emboldened right now is they don't feel like militarily we're as strong as we once were.
Hey, Congressman, thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate your business, okay?
Thank you. Y'all have a great week.
Have a fantastic day.